What's up, CFC? You guys all right? I said, what's up, CFC? It's hard to believe another school year has come and gone, and we are officially in the middle of summer. And it's blowing my mind because it comes and goes so fast, and already the summer's here. And I know a lot of you, you've already planned your summer out, and you're already anticipating when school's going to start back. But I want to tell you, I don't want you to miss it, because we have one exciting summer planned for us here at CFC. So I want you to engage on whatever level you can. I know you guys are going to be traveling. The Mediterranean's calling, Italy's calling, things like that. But I want you to stay here, stay engaged as much as possible. Great stuff going on at CFC this summer, all right? Dixie, you have a question. Are you serious? Did you guys not see the note that was posted up when you came in this morning? Okay, well, that's my bad. That falls on me as your pastor. Sorry for the lack of communication. Dixie, over the weekend, our elders met, and there's actually been a name change to our church. We are no longer called Corinth First Church of the Brethren of the Apostolic Order of God in Christ United. We're now just simply called Corinth First Church. CFC! Yeah, what's up, CFC? Now, here's the deal. I said we got an exciting summer plan. Here's the thing. Our teens, they're going to be taking a mission trip to Athens this summer. So they're geared up for that. And I know many of you, you've been helping raise funds for that trip. A lot of those guys have never actually been to Athens, but they're going to have a chance to go see what Athens has to offer and just love and serve all the people of Athens. And really excited about our Little Tykes Gladiator VBS that's going to be coming on later this summer. And so if you haven't signed your little guys up for that, get them in Little Tykes Gladiator VBS. Very important stuff, not only about learning about Jesus, but also learning what it means to be a gladiator. And they're going to want to know that in the days ahead here in Corinth. All right. And then last, but definitely not least, our prime timers are taking that 3-week cruise to Italy. So if you haven't signed up for that already, want to go ahead and get on the list for that. And like I said, it's going to be an exciting summer here at CFC. A lot going on, so I want you to stay engaged as much as possible. Again, I know you're going to be going, you're going to be doing. Summer just pulls us in 1,000 different directions, but try to stay engaged as much as you can. All right? Now, here's the deal, though. Along with this exciting summer that we got planned here, in the meantime, we got a letter from Pastor Paul. Okay? Pastor Paul is in Ephesus right now, and he sent us a letter because apparently some things have been going on in the life of the church that he's not too thrilled about. He's not very happy about. And so, in fact, he sent a letter that he wants us to work through for the remainder of the summer. And so we've got some things to deal with. And, you know, as a pastor, dealing with things like this can be difficult sometimes, because we've got to have some tough conversations, some hard conversations. And unfortunately, I didn't get to talk to Pastor Paul before he wrote this letter. But ultimately, his request has been that we just give you the letter as it is. And we try to deal with some of the issues that are in the letter along the way. And we'll be providing some commentary, but really maybe just have some things that we need to be talking about. And he outlines a few of these things in his letter, okay? So don't want to alarm anybody. Everything's okay here at CFC, but here's the deal. Pastor Paul sent us this letter, and we got to talk about some things like the vision in the midst of the church. I didn't know this, but there's apparently some things going on in the life of the body that we're just going to have to deal with. And I know some of you have been listening to Apollos lately. And so even though we get word from Pastor Paul, and he's kind of shaped us into who he wants us to be as the people of God, and you get to hear from me on a regular basis, apparently some of you have been listening to Pastor Apollos' podcast, and Pastor Paul's not too excited about that. And in fact, apparently some of you have actually been saying that I don't follow Pastor Paul anymore. I follow Pastor Apollos. And I want to tell you, I don't think Pastor Paul's going to be too excited about that, because at the end of the day, Pastor Paul doesn't want us following Apollos, and he doesn't want us following him. He wants us to be following Jesus. So, if there's any division among us about who we're following as human leaders, he wants to address that in this letter that he's given us. But also, apparently there's some other stuff going on that we're not going to get too deep into today because we have our little tykes with us this morning. But apparently, right here at CFC, there's some stuff going on between people that aren't married that apparently shouldn't be happening. And Pastor Paul is not too excited about that. Some stuff that, again, I'm not going to mention today, but in a few weeks we're going to talk about. Because here's the deal. We believe God ordained marriage. One man, one woman, called them together. That's where that stuff should be happening. And apparently that stuff's happening today. And it's not only between people that aren't married. Sometimes it's a man and his stepmother. And there's some really weird stuff that seems to be going on. And surely y'all know about some of this stuff. And Paul wants us to address some of this stuff. Well, there's also apparently word that right here at CFC, there's some brothers and sisters that have been suing one another and taking them to civil court. Now, the scripture gives us pretty clear outlines that when we approach one another, if we have a problem with one another between a brother and a sister, we try to deal with it right here at CFC. We can work it out. We can make it happen. But apparently some of us, we've been taking others to court, dragging them and then suing them for everything they have. And Pastor Paul's not too excited about that either. Apparently, there's also, again, I'm unaware of this because I don't notice these things on Sunday morning, but apparently some unfaithful worship practices as well. And I haven't seen this, but I've heard that it's happened that some of you have actually shown up drunk to worship because you've been eating and drinking all along before you even get here. And before we even have a chance to eat the bread and drink the juice, you've already had your full and you're done for the day, you know. And he wants us to talk about those things along the way. And then I know I haven't preached on this in a while, but also he wants us to have a refresher about what the resurrection means. Okay. And so, like I said before, nothing to be alarmed about. Very exciting summer here at CFC. But we do have this letter that we need to deal with, that we need to talk about. And here's the deal. Those are some pretty heavy issues. And so you hear some of those things and maybe you think, well, you know, Pastor, that's not what I signed up for because I don't want to talk about those kind of heavy issues. Sorry. This is what Pastor Paul wants us to do, and we're going to listen, okay? So here's the deal. Now, he's going to swing this thing around, though, because at the end of the day, this letter's got some pretty exciting stuff in it also about how it is we are called to respond to one another and about how we're called to respond to the world around us. So I don't want to give it away, but here's the deal. In about 13 weeks, we're going to have an opportunity to open up this letter, and he's going to bring all this stuff together, and here's the one word that we're going to be able to work with this whole summer. Pastor Paul wants to focus in on the word love. Okay? And again, not the word love like the man and the stepmother. Not that kind of love, right? Not like I love pizza or I love football. Pastor Paul wants us to talk about the word love as it relates to the love that God has for us and the love that we are called to have for one another. And in essence, what we're going to do throughout this entire summer as we walk through this letter together is we're going to focus on this phrase that Pastor Paul's given us, the most excellent way. And what this is this comes from him as a conviction, really down this vein. There's a lot of ways we could live life. We could live life as hopeful. We could live life as people of faith. But the truth is every issue that he's bringing out in this letter, he's got one question he wants us to ask. What does love require of us? So rather we talk about some hard issues like suing one another, like immorality, whether we talk about some hard issues like marriage and divorce, or we talk about the resurrection, or we talk about unfaithfulness and worship, we're going to swing it back around every week to deal with this phrase from him. The most excellent way is love. And as people of God, we got to ask this question, what does love require of us? What's up, CPC? You guys out there? I wonder in my own mind how all of that would have gone down. Like, do I really think that they were taking a mission trip to Athens? Probably not. Did the prime timers really have a 3-week cruise set to Italy? Probably. But we don't know. But how does a pastor in the first century city of Corinth stand up and say, hey guys, we got some issues we got to talk about. We did get a letter from Pastor Paul, and he wants us to address these things. And quite honestly, the first part of this letter, he's just straight up mad. He's upset about some stuff that's going on. And I want to get it right. And I know you want to get it right. How do you talk about those things? How do you introduce those things? Now, here's the deal. Corinth was like a modern day Vegas. Okay? Anybody going to Vegas anytime soon over the summer? Nobody. All right. Well, terrible analogy I picked to use this morning. Corinth's like a modern day Vegas. There is a strip of land about 4 miles wide that exists right there between the oceans where ships would come in. And in order to not have to travel around the peninsula to get to the other side, they would unload all of their goods and their services, and they would transport them about 4 miles through this small strip of land in Corinth. And so because of this place, this port that existed right there in Corinth, any and everything you wanted from the known world was dumped off at this port and was reloaded on this port unless it was sold and consumed and taken advantage of in the midst of the 4 mile trip. Therefore, our scholars will tell us this little thing about Corinth. They would tell us that you could get any and every vice known to the known world in Corinth, because people were traveling from all over the known world to this place to trade, to buy, to sell, to transport. So anything you wanted, you could have it. Again, back to the analogy that perhaps doesn't work today. I was going to say, it sounds like Corinth was a modern day Vegas. You know, whatever happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. But in fact, there was a different phrase that was used by those in ancient times about Corinth, and it was simply this: not every man can afford a trip to Corinth. The spirit behind that was not that they don't have enough money. It's that for many people who show up in Corinth, they show up and their trip to Corinth may cost them more than they ever wanted to pay in terms of their faithfulness, their fidelity, their morality. Not every man can afford to make a trip to Corinth. Now, don't get me wrong, Corinth, not just this bad place, there's a lot of bad stuff going on, but it's also pretty high tech for its time. There's education, there's entertainment, there's a temple to Aphrodite where you could go, and there's thousands of individuals there ready to make themselves available to you for whatever your needs were. Again, keeping it a little surfacey this morning with our children here with us, but this reality was the reality of Corinth. So Paul lands in this city, lands in a place like this, having come from Athens. He's preached the word in Athens. They've kind of kicked him out of Athens. So he's made his way over to Corinth to start preaching. And in the meantime, he wants to plant a church. Now, where we find this text is in, not in 1 Corinthians, not in 2 Corinthians. Where we find this text is in Acts chapter 18. Okay? So stick with me real quick here. We're going to read a few verses here in just a moment. But here's the deal. Notice the red on the cross over here. Today we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is going to carry us now for a while as we celebrate the time in Acts chapter 2 when the apostles were waiting on the Spirit to show up, and the Spirit descended on them and the sound like a rushing wind came in. And the apostles reported that things that looked like tongues that were on fire landed on each of their heads. And all of a sudden the apostles were given this power to speak in native tongues that they had never spoken before. And they tell us there in Acts that people started to hear the gospel being proclaimed in their own tongues and started giving their lives to Jesus. And on this day, Pentecost, we're told out of Acts that 3,000 people were added to the church on that day because they were now hearing the gospel in their own tongue through the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit speaking through them. Now, what happened is Pentecost birthed the church. Okay, we don't have the church in Scripture prior to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Sometimes we get that mixed up if we're in the Gospels and we say, well, Jesus said to the church. The church didn't really exist as we know it today until Acts chapter 2 when the church was birthed at the day of Pentecost. And Peter then starts to preach the gospel. Now, something happens here in Acts chapter 2, very important. The apostles now begin to spread out into the known world to start planting churches as they are sharing the gospel, the good news about Jesus. In the meantime, Saul, who was a murderer of Christians, a persecutor of Christians, gets saved on the Damascus Road. His name is changed to Paul, and he too, after a period of education, goes out and starts planting churches. And so he's going out, he's planting churches throughout the Mediterranean, and here we go. Having been kicked out of Athens for talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he now lands in Corinth. This is what happens in Acts chapter 18. When he lands in Corinth, he meets a fellow Jew named Aquila. Now, Aquila was not from Corinth. He was from Pontus, but he had recently come from Italy because Claudius had ordered that all Jews were to be kicked out and were to leave Rome. And so he gets connected to Aquila and his wife Priscilla. And so he lands in this new city. He meets this Jew that's been kicked out of his home. And come to find out, Priscilla and Aquila are both tent makers. They make tents with their hand. That was also Paul's trade. So we have this picture in Acts 18 where Paul is connected now to Priscilla and Aquila. They're spending their time building and making tents in order to make a living. But something happens is that Paul is now spending the bulk of his time making tents, and he's not able to go out and preach the good news. He doesn't like this very much. So Paul was being limited to preaching the good news just in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And so what he would do is he would make tents 6 days a week. But then he would go into the Sabbath and go in and dispute and debate and proclaim the good news about Jesus in the synagogue. Now in verse 5, by the time Silas and Timothy show up, scholars believe that Silas and Timothy probably brought with them a donation or an offering of some sort, some financial support. And so when they got there, Paul was able to exclusively start preaching. So when Silas and Timothy came, they, on whatever level, we don't really know, whatever level, they started giving enough support that Paul then was able to go out and just preach the gospel 7 days a week. And the scripture says Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching. Well, like in Athens, Paul goes out, particularly in the synagogue, and the Jews don't want to hear about the resurrection of Jesus. So they do the same thing they did earlier. They kick Paul out. And Paul gets so angry that he shook out his clothes in protest. And I don't really know what that means. Like, I'm so mad at you guys. Like, what does that look at? Like, he shook out his clothes in protest and he said, here's the deal. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. I'm not going to waste my time anymore on this Jewish audience. They don't want to hear. They don't want to listen. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And so what happens is Paul leaves the synagogue that day and he goes next door where he meets another individual who was a worshiper of God. And then he partners up with another individual, Crispus, who was the synagogue leader, who also became a believer. And not just him, but his entire household. And right then and there, all of these people are baptized and there is planted the Christian church in Corinth. Now by this point we get to chapter 18, verse 9 in the book of Acts. Here's what it says. It says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. Now, our biblical scholars will tell us that they believe that that passage of scripture is actually out of place. And the reason they believe that is because of the little story that comes after that statement. So in the midst of Paul going out and preaching, Gallio is the proconsul of Achaia, and the Jews in Corinth make this concerted, organized attack on Paul, and they bring him to court. They take him into the legal system, the world system, and they say, this man is persuading people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. And Gallio basically doesn't want anything to do with any of this. So the Jews bring Paul in, they throw him down on the ground, and they say, hey, this guy's trying to get people to worship in ways that aren't according to the Jewish law. And Gallio, he basically says, I shouldn't be making judgments about this. Why have you called me in here to make decisions about your own law? If he had committed a real crime, a misdemeanor of some sort, killed somebody, theft, whatever, sure, bring him in. But you're trying to bring a situation that exists in your own law, and you want me to make a judgment against it. And he says, I'm not going to do that. And so this governmental leader basically says, don't bring me in and put me in the middle of your little squabble of your inner circle. I will not be a judge of such things. And he told them to just go away. Well, in the meantime, this crowd of people turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and they began to beat him right in front of Gallio. And he doesn't do anything about it. So now a real crime is taking place right here, and the guy doesn't even act. Now, the scholars will tell us that we believe that this story is actually the one that happened prior to verses 9 through 11. You see, at this point, some people are just mad at Paul, and they want Paul to shut up and move on and stop talking about Jesus. But when we switch the verses around, we see what's going on. Now, people are starting to get physical. They're beating each other. They're threatening their lives. And now we know that the government, as it stands right there in Corinth, is not going to step in on Paul's behalf, even if they start to beat him the way they're beating Sosthenes. Everybody with me? Say, uh-huh. Okay? So we have this image that's just taking place. They've taken him in. Gallio said, get out of here. The people turn on Sosthenes. They're beating him to death. And Gallio does nothing about it. And as a believer in Jesus, Paul, you got to be sure that at some point he steps back and goes, oh man, could this happen to me? Maybe I should leave. Like, should I leave Corinth? Should I get out of here? Should I shut up and not say anything else about Jesus? Should I move on and not preach anymore? And having seen this scene, verses 9 through 11 make much more sense. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Maybe Paul's own heart and mind was saying to him, you need to get out of here. But God had a different idea. Maybe some of the people around Paul who loved him and cared about him, maybe they had their own plans and they were saying, Paul, you better get out of here. Did you see what they did to Sosthenes? They were beating him to death. They're going to do that to you. You need to go. Regardless of whatever voices were calling out to Paul to say, Paul, you need to leave for your own safety. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, and here's what the Lord had to say. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking, and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. I got to tell you, that's a pretty cool statement right there. No one's going to mess with you. I am the Lord God, and I got a lot of people in this city. Lord, we thought Paul was coming to plant the church. I got a lot of people here. Well, we know about Priscilla and Aquila. We know about Titus Justus. We know about these guys. No, I got a lot of people here. It gives us this idea that maybe even before Paul landed on the scene, God was doing some work in this city, even a city as vile and as corrupt as Corinth. So God gives Paul this assurance. Nobody's going to harm you. Nobody's going to attack you. I have people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. So after 18 months, Paul's got the church up, he's got the church running, and there they go, CFC, Corinth First Church of the Brethren, Apostolic United of the, you know, Brotherhood, whatever it was. And Paul leaves. And at that point, after 18 months, you have to assume there's some level of reliance upon a leader like Paul. Where 18 months ago, people were probably saying to him, you better get out of here, buddy. They've got your name on a list. There's a target on your back, and you need to go. And Paul says, I'm not scared of them. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm listening to the Lord God. I know what he told me. He's got a lot of people in this city. We're going to do something good in this city. But 18 months later, he's got to go. And that's just what he does. He starts for a new location, for a new city, to plant a new church. And word gets back to Paul that some of these issues start to arise in the church in Corinth. I've mentioned them already: division, sexual immorality, misunderstandings about the resurrection, brothers and sisters suing one another within the church, on and on and on. And so what we have is, when we arrive at the letter of 1 Corinthians, when you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians, that's what you're opening it up to. You're opening it up to the words that Paul has to share with the Christian people of Corinth as they are trying to figure out what it means to be the best, strongest, most united church that they can be for the city of Corinth in the first century. And he takes them head on. He deals with these issues head on. I want to encourage you this summer to walk through 1 Corinthians with us. We're going to be addressing this idea the most excellent way as we walk through the entire letter of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to be dealing with the main idea or the main topic of each chapter, one chapter a week. And so we won't be walking through verse by verse or anything like that, but we'll be dealing with the highlight of that chapter, dealing with one chapter a week, and that'll take us through the summer. Now, along the way, we're going to hear from some other voices. My summer is jacked up between General Assembly and between seeing some family in Kansas City and our Swaziland mission trip. That's at times going to take me out of the pulpit. That is no reason for that to take you out of the worship center, though. We're going to hear from some other voices like Dan McKinley and Chad Smith, Pastor Fabiana, people who love the Word, want to proclaim the Word. And we're going to walk through 1 Corinthians together. And I want to invite you to come along on this journey. And maybe you say, well, Dwayne, I've already got a devotional regimen. That's fine. Throw in one more chapter throughout the summer. One chapter a week, we're going to be dealing with this. Now, also along the way, a whole lot of stuff going to be going on in the life of Center Point Church, okay? Now, I was having some fun with you earlier about CFC, but the truth is CPC summer is a little bit busier than CFC summer was. And so here we go. This makes me tired just to think about. But right here in this building, our Journey Early Learning Center camps are going to be kicking up. Okay, and so that's going to be happening all through the summer as kids are in this part of our building back here, learning about Christ, being provided a safe place for them and their child care for their families. Tomorrow, right here in this wing of this entire wing of our building, will be full with Coach Lee's summer camp. Coach Lee is an Orange County educator. We've been able to provide space for Coach Lee's summer camp for 3 years now. Again, opportunity for kids to come in and be loved and be given a safe place to be. Also, every Friday throughout this summer, we're going to be hosting the Andover Elementary YMCA right here in our building. They'll be coming in here, and they'll be in this space, and they'll be taking over opportunities to build relationships with Andover Elementary School. Right now, as we speak, our teens, our high schoolers are in New York City with Pastor Javier, Pastor Fabiana, Lisa Matthews, Travis Blue, and Christy Foreman. And so they're up there to love and to serve throughout this next week. Please be praying for them. If you have your bracelet on, Swaziland, Miami, New York City, be praying about that. Also, tomorrow morning, all of our kids leave. 30 of our children and adults will be leaving in the morning to go to our Nazarene, Florida district camp. So I want to be praying for Pastor Ryan and his team of volunteers and all our kids. Youth camp is also coming up in June. Also in June, during the week of youth camp, we're going to be hosting a mission trip group from the Columbia First Church of the Nazarene in Columbia, South Carolina. And they're going to be staying with us right here for a week and go out to love and serve in Orlando. And then at the end of this month, we will be participating in our Nazarene General Assembly. Every 4 years, the Church of the Nazarene has a worldwide gathering of leaders for many purposes, youth, discipleship, general church stuff. And that's going to be happening in Indianapolis. Several from our congregation will be there, including myself. But then also, July comes in full swing, and our mission trip crew, first week of July, our middle schoolers are be going down to Miami for the week, and they'll be participating with an organization called the DOOR program. DOOR stands for Discovering Opportunities for Outreach and Reflection. So they're not only going to go out and serve, they'll come back after their times of service and be able to talk about issues like poverty, like homelessness, like prostitution, like immigration, and be talking about some of these issues that plague a city just 3.5 hours away from here. Our Vacation Bible School is going to be taking place along with our VBS Sunday. And this is an ocean theme. And so Pastor Ryan will be talking to you about this a little bit later this morning. But if you haven't signed up already, please, please, please get your kids registered. And also you can get signed up for Ways to Love and Serve. Don said last week we need like 12,000 volunteers for VBS. You know, so everybody, all hands on deck, get signed up for that. And then the middle of July, we will be sending 12 of us from Centerpoint over to Swaziland, Africa, to serve with the Luke Commission. And then August comes in, and Orange County School starts back on August 14th. All right? Anybody tired already? Anybody need a nap? Going to be a great summer. And woven throughout this summer, we're going to be in this series together, The Most Excellent Way, as we walk through this letter together. And again, my prayer is that through this time of summer, this is not a time of retreat for us or fallback for us. This is a time of advance for us as a church to become a stronger, more united body of faith. And so I want to take this opportunity to just encourage you to engage in your worship, in your giving, in your serving, in your fellowship with one another. Make it happen this summer, despite the busyness of the church, despite the busyness of the world around us. When we're here in town in Orlando, let's engage. And I want to give you one more opportunity throughout this time to engage, kind of to mirror this series on Sunday mornings, beginning this Wednesday night. We will be starting a 1 Corinthians Bible study at 6:30 p.m. That'll go for about an hour from 6:30 to 7:30, led by Dan McKinley. And so we'll be walking through 1 Corinthians together throughout the summer. So if you say, yeah, I want to engage on that level, I want to be a part of a more in-depth study than what we're going to get right here through the preaching time on Sunday, that would be a great place for you to land each Wednesday night throughout the summer at 6:30. If you have any questions about that, Dan can address those. And if you want to be a part of that, would love for us to know that we're expecting you this week so we can be prepared. So, a lot of good stuff, a lot of heavy stuff as we get into 1 Corinthians. And I pray that you get into it with us so that we can walk this journey together. Because at the end of the day, we're not doing this as an academic exercise. We're not doing this so you can go to work and be like, did you know the word Corinth is used 12 times in the book? You know, we're not doing that. We're doing it so that the Lord can raise to the surface any realities within this church and any realities in our own hearts and lives that he just needs to challenge because he loves us. So I got high hopes for myself through this time, and I have high hopes for each and every one of you. All right? As our team comes, let's pray together. God, we're thankful for stories out of Scripture, God, that continue to reveal that the church was your idea, that you are fighting for her best, and that you use very broken people just like us for your purposes. And God, we know that's the mystery of the church, that you would choose people like us who are inclined to do our own thing and to go our own way. And you call us into life and relationship with you in such a way that proclaiming your word becomes our priority in life. And God, in the same way that you used Paul and others to strengthen the church in Corinth, God, we want to look back to the issues that they dealt with and the realities they faced, Lord, so that we may come to a greater understanding of who you're calling us to be in Orlando in 2017. And God, we know that at the end of the day, the church is not an institution, God, where we simply put words on a page and like robots follow those things. We know at the end of the day, the church is the culmination of people living out your gospel in the world around them. So God, I pray that through this summer, there'll be opportunities for us to share your good news with our neighbors and our coworkers. God, that you'll anoint these opportunities that we have through program mission trips and experiences like camp and VBS, Lord, that you'll be speaking into our lives and changing the trajectory of our lives. And Lord, if there's anything deep within our own individual hearts that you want to challenge or encourage through this series on 1 Corinthians, God, we pray that you would be moving and active in those areas. And Lord, I would pray for each and every one of us that whenever you come to us and you tap on our shoulder or you call us to change or to rearrange or to go a new direction with life or a decision, God, that we don't resist. But God, help us to know that whatever you would say to us throughout this series, whatever you would say to us throughout this summer, it grows from your heart of love for us. So God, thank you for not only telling us about the most excellent way, but modeling love on our behalf. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.